You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
William Fitzsimmons, thank you for that. That was an amazing interview. We actually were going to do a Sunday edition, and I decided that halfway through the conversation, it was such an important conversation that we should just make this a regular, the only one in the room, 1 hour edition. And I'm so glad we did.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Are you a tenor voice or upper baritone? You have an amazing voice.
My talking voice and my singing voice are completely disparate.
Uh-huh.
I learned, my mother was a soprano, and I used to follow her around the house and try to copy the Joni Mitchell and the John Denver songs that was doing. And the only way I could do it, even as a kid, before my voice dropped, was to sing in a falsetto. So I actually learned to sing just in my head voice. So like properly, if I use my chest voice, I'm probably like a tenor. But I fake it real well to do the high stuff.
Yeah, I think when you're relaxed listening to it, you kind of hit that tenor more in a natural state. I felt it a lot. And it's a great voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
And, you know, I think the thing that I am struck about is your honesty about your journey. I think it's, you know, I'm a white man who has two white kids, and I was raised in the South in Virginia. And I left Virginia when I was about 20 because I was just really discouraged with the disparity there. I couldn't verbalize why I left. I just knew that it wasn't right. I lived in a place where, you know, people got, you know, indiscriminately assaulted because of their color, their location, you know, which still happens all over the world. But at that point, it was 1990. I was about 20 years old, and I was like, this shit doesn't make any sense to me. And I left. And I went to, you know, one of the whitest places on earth, which was Salt Lake City, Utah. 5 years ago, I ended up here in L.A., and one of the first things that happened was I was just so relieved to be around diversity. You know what I mean? It was a diversity of culture, diversity of food, diversity of music. You know, you talked a lot about, you know, raising a biracial kid, a young daughter, and exposing them to culture. And I think I identify with that because I felt so starved of culture when I moved into LA.
Right.
Yeah. So then I move into a house with, you know, Laura talked a lot about, like, you know, what culturally makes her thrive. And we would have these Sunday dinners and the whole family would get together and I couldn't get a word in.
Well, like, you're the only white guy.
I was the only white guy there. Yeah. We were chowing like collard greens and fried chicken and macaroni and cheese. Sure. And I was like, weirdly enough, I was like, this is the food I grew up on, but this is not the table that I grew up at.
Right. Oh, well said. Yeah. Well said.
And, and I remember how uncomfortable it made me at first, right? Because I couldn't operate as I had normally operated. I had to really sit and listen and watch. And, you know, that thing that Laura talked about being cultures being different really became apparent to me. And in your interview, the thing that you kept talking about was recognizing, you would say, your own racism, but I like to say my own biases, because I don't like to think that I'm racist, but I do know that I am challenged.
Well, I think it depends on what you mean by racist, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because bigoted and it means something different, because that's mean-spirited.
Mm-hmm.
But I think William's point, too, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but it's that people who benefit from a racist system are, in fact, racist.
Right.
And so as a straight white male, you know, you're at the top of the food chain.
I'm at the very top.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and that's yeah. important, because you and I get to now recognize our privilege, right? Like that's mm-hmm. when
if we choose to.
If we choose to. Yeah.
This episode's being brought to you by Voyage AC.
Hey, hon, I have a problem.
What's going on, honey?
I thought I knew I was getting everyone on my holiday list, but I went to Voyage AC and there were so many amazing things, so now I'm confused.
Well, maybe I can help. What are the choices?
Well, they have these new scents and a whole new line of face and body products, like this highly effective, fluffy collagen and elastin super hydrating face cream, and this elegant moisturizing eye cream. And there's also something I was actually thinking about buying you, hon.
Eye cream?
No, but we could all use a good eye cream, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is a new body and intimacy oil made with all safe organic ingredients, Bulgarian rose, jasmine, vanilla, fractionated coconut oil, and organic almond oil, all organic essential oil.
You had me at fractionated coconut oil.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you'll find a bottle under your tree this year, hun.
I'll be looking forward to it.
So if you haven't started your holiday shopping yet, don't worry. You can take care of everyone on your list at Voyage AC.
One-stop shopping.
Yes. And Voyage AC has absolutely everything you need. Amazing gifts, faux fur throws, beachwear, diffusers, clutches, beach bags, clothes, gorgeous mix and match gift boxes, and these brand new face and body products. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VOYAGEETCIE.com.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now, even through the holidays. That's 10% off everything you buy.
All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Now you have two daughters, and I think, you know, I would say you can't unsee the truth, right? And in this time of, you know, the reckoning that we are coming to with an 8-year-old daughter, you want to be the best father, white father, you can be. And
correct.
Owning that difference, for me, is the start. But it's not easy, right? The choice becomes whether you want to or not, because it's work.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, but I like the way you put it. You know, one of my favorite lines from the Bible, and I have a really complicated relationship with spirituality. Let me put that out there.
I don't think you're alone.
You know, I was raised in a very conservative, almost fundamentalist environment, and I have left that fold, but I still consider myself a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. I still have my own higher power, but there's a line when Saint Peter asked Jesus, Jesus asked Peter, he said, what do you want to do? And he said, I don't have a choice. Like you're the truth. Mm. Mm. So where else am I going to go? Even if you were in the depths of hell, I'd go there too. Mm. You know, so that my point isn't to make a point about Jesus, but my point is when you see something that's true, you either become a really good liar,
right,
or you just dive in. You know, so that to me was a watershed moment about whatever we want to say, it was biases or racism. I had to look. I had black friends when I was growing up, so I'm not racist, right?
Right.
You know, is
now,
that
now you have a attitude. You have a black daughter in your house, and you are forced to look at her culture and how she's treated different than you did when you had black friends that you could meet between 2 and 5 o'clock on Thursday, right?
Absolutely.
And that's
absolutely
like I can intellectually understand racism, but when I sit at a table of people and experience their experience, I am forced to look at it differently. And I think that that's where America is struggling right now. We can intellectualize something and tell you we understand it, but until you sit next to it and be a part of it, you have an experience that when you almost can't explain it, it's more impactful, I think.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And you're speaking to what Mark Twain said about travel being fatal to prejudice, that when you sit at that door, Anthony DeMello talked about that. When you, or maybe it was Richard Rohr, when you hear someone's story, it becomes almost impossible to hate them.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, but you have to sit at the table, right, Scott? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, well,
if you're not at the table, you're not going to get it.
Mm-mm. You're going to find a way to defend yourself against it.
Well,
100%.
The stakes, right? You're going to have to give something up. If you acknowledge the differences and the disparities and you are of the dominant culture, that means you're going to have to relinquish some of the privileges that you've enjoyed and that generations
correct.
Before you have enjoyed. So most
people
don't want
to. And a lot of people don't want to.
Yep.
They don't want to because they don't want to do it.
No. Well, it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And
I don't look, I don't want to do it, quote unquote.
Right.
Like the idea of like me, if I have 99% of the pie already, why am I going to want to share the pie?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense from a individualistic, selfish perspective, right? You know, anyways, all the things we're talking about is that once you see the truth that like this isn't the best way to do it, and I'll never be happy. Once I started to see the actual things, when it was, I couldn't just sit in my little mostly white neighborhood as a kid and just think that, well, yeah, this is like this because people are like this and these people are like this. Once that I got confronted by actually being in relationships with people who are different than me, it turned into complete bullshit.
Right. Well, and you're
and I just don't have that capacity.
I think that you're unique in that you allow yourself to see the bullshit. That's where I feel like I got like the thing I hear in your story is humility. I hear humility all over the place where you understand who you are and you're willing to sort of move towards who you want to be. And that's not comfortable. And a lot of people don't want to do that. And the gift you said in the interview, the gift is your daughter in your life, not that she gets you in your life.
That's
and,
right.
And that's to me is amazing. I have to tell you, we got to wrap it up, but the picture of your daughter going down to her classroom.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was
to get her sister.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It makes me emotional.
Go ahead.
Because to me, that should be the guiding force of every human being. is to care and love, instead of like, oh, look at the little black kid getting the little white kid, you know, whatever, you know. It should be, look at the two people who care about each other enough to
look at those sisters.
Yeah, to walk with each other.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, I know it's impossible for us to get there as a planet, but I think one person at a time, one family at a time, things get better.
That was beautiful, man. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. You painted the picture.
Well, you felt, well, Josie painted the picture.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
I'm just reporting it.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Thank you so much for your time. I'm so glad we did this.
Yeah. And good call, hon.
Yeah, thank you. I got to produce a little bit today.
Yeah, you did. Uh-huh. Thank you, William.
All the best to both of you guys. I hope to talk with you soon. Thank you for this.
All right.
This was never the way I planned. My intention, I got so brave, a drink in hand, lost my discretion, it's not what I'm used to, just wanna try you on, I'm curious for you, caught my attention, I kissed a girl, I liked it. Taste of her cherry chapstick. I kissed a girl just to try it. Oh, my girlfriend, don't mind it. It felt so wrong, it felt so right. I mean, I'm in love tonight. I kissed a girl, I liked it. No, I don't even know your name.
The Only One in the Room has brand new interviews for you every week. You won't want to miss our full episodes every Tuesday, Scott Talks on Wednesday, and our new Thursday series, The Now Normal. And twice per month, be sure to catch our 30-minute Sunday edition by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Join our Only One in the Room Facebook group if you'd like to tell us about your Only One story. All of us at The Only One in the Room wish you safety and mommies.
Cherry chapstick. I kissed a girl just to try it. Oh, my girlfriend, don't mind it. It felt so wrong, it felt so right. I mean, I'm in love tonight. I kissed a girl, I liked it. You girls, you are so magical, soft skin. So touchable, too good to deny it. It ain't no big deal, it's innocent. I kissed a girl, I liked it. Taste of the cherry chapstick. I kissed a girl just to try it. Oh, my girlfriend, don't mind it. It felt so.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.